This is Murray Yates, welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. This is Mission Breakthrough. You may remember last month we finished looking at the book, The Hour That Changes the World. We had gone through the 12 steps of prayer. Today we are finishing it by looking at how we can pray. How can we do it personally? Well, now we have a practical plan for prayer. We are faced with a matter of commitment. Am I willing to commit myself to give the Lord 60 minutes daily for prayer and Bible study? Would I also be willing to devote at least one of those hours during a week to be part of a continuous wall of prayer for my community? A unique biblical picture of a wall of prayer is found in Isaiah. We read, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray to the Lord day and night for the fulfillment of his promises. Take no rest, all you who pray. Give the Lord no rest until he makes Jerusalem the object of praise throughout the earth. That's found in Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. Across our nation and throughout the world, even China and large countries such as that, believers are forming walls of prayer for their cities and town. Because there are 160 hours in a week, a wall of prayer consists of at least one person covering each of those hours. Many churches are establishing walls of continuous prayer. Some communities have numerous churches cooperating to form multiple walls of prayer. You can join such a war, including Every Home for Christ's global wall of prayer for your neighbours and the nations by calling this number, 1/800-423-5054. Or by logging on to www.ehc.org and clicking on the wall of prayer icon. A free kit will be sent to you that includes ideas for individuals, churches and communities. This book will help you and others stay faithful on the wall, as well as help you develop your daily prayer life, even as much as an hour each day. But commitment is the key. This personal commitment is of the utmost importance. Accomplishment always begins with a commitment of the will. To reach the peak of a mountain, a climber must first commit himself in the foothills. Once a commitment is made, follow through, and persistence is essential. Concerning commitment and prayer, Professor Halsbury preached, certain requirements must be met if the art of prayer is to be acquired. In the main, there are two: practice and perseverances. Without practice, no Christian will become a real man or woman of prayer. And practice cannot be attained without perseverance. A faithful persistence is at the heart of a meaningful devotional habit. Andrew Murray, who said much concerning prayer's importance, also spoke about this quality in prayer. Discussing faithfulness, Murray said, "The Lord teaches us to know that the blessing through which we have so earnestly prayed can be preserved and increased in no other way than through intimate fellowship with Christ in the inner chamber, every day practiced and cultivated." And this noted 19th century missionary concluded, "Begin at the beginning, be faithful in the inner chamber. Thank him that you can reckon on him to meet you there. Although everything appears cold and dark and restrained, bow in silence before the Lord Jesus, who so longs after you." Consistency is defined as purposeful regularity. How do we develop purposeful regularity in the devotional habit? First, find the very best time for personal prayer for you. Once you determine to develop a daily prayer habit, careful consideration should be given to when you pray. To discover your most effective time for prayer, it may be necessary to do some experimenting. Be careful not to rule out early morning prayer if you have never tried it. Set a goal of rising 60 to 90 minutes earlier than normal for at least several days of experimentation. You may be surprised to discover it is possible to function on less than your usual duration of sleep. Seek also to set a specific time for prayer. Heed the warning: those who have no set time for prayer do not pray. And recently, a survey was conducted of 20,000 prayer warriors who had pledged to pray 60 minutes daily. One question was directed specifically at those having difficulty keeping their commitment. Of those experiencing problems, the majority testified that they set a goal to spend 1 hour daily with the Lord, but never set a specific time to spend that hour. So secondly, declare your commitment verbally each day. And this is especially beneficial for the first few weeks of maintaining a daily prayer habit. State your commitment vocally upon arising each morning. Whether it is vocal or mental, it is of value to declare it. "The most important appointment I have today is my appointment with Jesus in prayer." Other appointments or responsibilities may seem essential for the day, but nothing will approach the importance of intimate fellowship with the Lord. And third, fight all interruptions fiercely. And Paul spoke of fighting a good fight, found in 1 Timothy 6:12. To believers at Ephesus, he wrote, "Be ye angry, neither give place to the devil." We must become angry at the satanic interruption that seeks to rob our day of prayer. Consistent daily prayer often demands an all-out spiritual battle. Husbands and wives can assist one another in this regard. When I'm in prayer, my wife kindly tells visitors of callers that I am unable to be disturbed at that particular time. And such assistance proves of immeasurable help in conquering these interruptions. And fourth, developing a practical prayer plan. Seek to establish prayer goals that provide incentives for entering the prayer closet. Using suggestions provided in the last four months, develop a personal prayer a plan for prayer. Don't hesitate to vary the plan from day to day. Always invite the Holy Spirit to help you develop your program of prayer. Finally, recognize the overwhelming importance of your daily hour with God. Until we recognize the full worth of our prayers, we will never develop a consistent habit of prayer. Years ago, when Dick Eastman, was in China, he carried as a reminder of his visit there a small red book called Quotations from Mayo T.C. Tung. Once home, he felt a deep conviction to hold this book daily in prayer, rebuking its power over the masses of China. He prayed that Mao's influence would deteriorate throughout communist China. And suddenly newspapers and magazines seemed filled with articles discussing this very thing. As many as five unrelated articles reporting such changes appeared in 1 week, just a few months after that trip. And some might believe these events were a mere coincidence, but he was convinced prayer made the difference. Indeed, only as we too become convinced that believing prayer truly changes things will we give ourselves to the daily exercise of prayer. Well, results of faithfulness. To be faithful in prayer is to share with God in his plan to change the world. Throughout every generation, it has been the praying saint who has altered the course of history. Evangelist D.L. Moody reminded us, Luther and his companions were men of such high pleading with God that they broke the spell of ages and laid nations subdued at the foot of the cross. And John Knox grasped all Scotland in his strong arms of faith, and his prayers terrified the tyrants. Whitfield, after much bold, faithful closet pleading, went to the devil's playground and took more than 1,000 souls out of the jaws of the lion in 1 day. With special anointing, the evangelist added, "See a praying Wesley turn more than 10,000 souls to the Lord. Look at the praying Finney, whose prayers, faith, sermons and writings have shaken the whole country and sent a wave of blessing through the churches on both sides of the sea." Some of you may think, well, does it happen today? Well, I belong to a church where we have just had a big revival meeting, and we saw at least 100 people come just in the one night to come to know Jesus Christ personally for themselves. But what happens when I am faithful to the closet of prayer? Not only do I reach out to help those who serve in the Lord's harvest around the world, but the impact of my personal prayer increases the very potential of my day. I soon find myself testifying with Dr. Payson. Since I began to beg God's blessings on my studies, I have done more in 1 week than in a whole year before. Consider the influence of that 18th century saint, David Brainerd. From a casual observation, it would appear little was accomplished with his life. But after all, Brainerd died at only 29 years of age, having served only 4 years as an ordained minister. What could a struggling backwards missionary possibly accomplish in just 4 years? Biographers tell us only 40 or 50 persons were actually converted to Christ as a result of Brainerd's entire ministry. Yet there was something about Brainerd's devotional intensity which affected generations of preachers. They were touched by his many days and nights of prayer in the frozen winter forests of the northeastern America. William Carey read Brainerd's journal, and a divine flame ignited that reached across continents to touch the unevangelism of India. Edward Payson, John Wesley, Robert McCheyne, Andrew Murray, and Jonathan Edwards were but a few transformed by a mere contact with the written testimony of that young missionary. And although he was almost twice the age of Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, in whose home David Brainerd died, said after Brainerd's early death from a disease, I praise God that in his providence Brainerd should die in my house so that I might hear his prayers, so that I might witness his consecration and be inspired by his example. The destiny, though, of our neighbours and nations. Beloved, it is not age, experience, talent, or material wealth, wrote Eastman. He says that what makes a difference in the destiny of men and women, well, but prayer alone will change the world from our neighbours to the nations. It is true that God may use age, experience, talent, and material wealth to carry forth his purposes, but only when each is properly backed by prayer. Without prayer, every effort is wasted, for it leaves God out of the picture. So wise is the statement that there is much we can do after we have prayed, but nothing we can do until we have prayed. Thus, all of our questions are reduced to one. Will I say yes to the supreme plea of Jesus to watch with him 1 hour? To say yes today and every day not only releases power into a neglected world, but it aligns me with the very ministry Jesus carries on today. Scripture says, he ever liveth to make intercession. That's found in Hebrews 7:25. Nothing I can do will please Christ more than my joining with him in daily prayer. And when I do, something happens in the world, including my neighbourhood, school or workplace. That could not happen through the other means. My hour with Jesus, though brief in comparison to the ages of recorded time, actually makes a difference in the events that constitute these ages. So once again, let our hearts stand silent as Jesus softly asks, what would you, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It is a question which must be answered, and on that answer hangs the destiny of my neighbours and the nations of the world. Lord, teach me to pray, and always pray and not give up. Much of that, what I've said today, was taken from the book, The Hour That Changes the World, and by Dick Eastman. And if you would like to buy a copy, they would be readily available in your nearest Christian bookshop. And if you wish, you can also get in contact with Every Home for Christ, because Dick Eastman is associated with that mission. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.
Peace in love.